What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to our show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. If you're a longtime listener, I apologize for not recording yesterday. I've been having sinus issues. You might still be able to hear them in my voice. I had one of those headaches where my entire head hurt, including my teeth. And there was no way I could do much of anything. So again, I apologize. With that out of the way, I'm your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at LockedOnYankees or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and every other podcast platform available. You can listen to the show on our website, LockedOnYankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, what else is there to talk about? There's nothing else going on other than the Yankees not signing Manny Machado yet. No one has signed Manny Machado. He has not made a decision as of 10:21 a.m. on Friday, January 11th. So with that in mind, let's get into it. Last night on Yes Network's Hot Stove Show, which I believe they filmed at Yogi Berra's museum out in Montclair, New Jersey, they had a segment on Manny Machado, why the Yankees haven't signed him. And it was Jack Curry, Bob Lorenz, John Flaherty, and Meredith Morakovitz. And essentially, they didn't really say much of anything because the Yes Network can't say anything negative about ownership, obviously, because the Yankees are trying to buy their stake back in Yes. And you know that Hal is watching every second, so God forbid anyone says anything bad about Hal, even though they should. So they were making fun of fans on Twitter saying that the Yankees should sign Manny Machado at all costs. Now, normally, I would say that they have a point because Yankee fans think that the Yankees should sign everyone. Like I've been saying all along, they should just sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and get it over with. But here's the thing. This isn't just typical Yankee fans saying, we have all this money, we should just sign them, we're the Yankees, blah, blah, blah. This is years of frustration watching the Yankees not make the playoffs in 2013, 2014, 2016, watching them lose the wild card game in 2015, and then seeing a team last year that should have had a better chance get their asses handed to them in the division series by the Red Sox. Now, of course, the Red Sox went on to win the World Series, but honestly, that series should have been closer than it was, and it was ridiculous and awful, and let's not talk about game four because I will flip out. So anyway, my point is that Hal Steinbrenner did all of this stuff, lowering payroll and getting the Yankees to a certain point, making us think that he was doing all of this so we could get to this offseason and sign one of the big free agents. That was what was believed by everyone. And now it's not happening. So that's why people are pissed off. That's why people are frustrated. And even more frustrating is watching the Yes people, who are literally Yes people and won't go against ownership, spew this nonsense last night on the Hot Stove show. You know that Hal is doing wrong. You know that Hal isn't putting the best team out there. If he was going to put the best team out there, he'd be signing the big free agents, because right now the Yankees are a wild card team. And if he doesn't get any more of these players that he should be getting, they're only going to be a wild card team. And I'm sick of this whole, well, the playoffs are a crapshoot, wild card teams have won the World Series. I don't want to see a team that squeaks into the playoffs and then might be able to win a World Series. I want another team like 2009, when I went to the Sunday night game in a four-game series against the Red Sox, after Victor Martinez put the Red Sox up to, was it 2-1? And then Johnny Damon and Mark Teixeira went back-to-back and hit home runs. And I looked at my brother. It was early-ish August, and I said, this team is winning the World Series. There's no doubt in my mind that this team is winning the World Series. I want that again. I don't want to sit and think, oh God, I hope they make the playoffs. Like, I don't want there to be doubt. I want there to be, this team is making the playoffs, they're going through the playoffs, and they're going to win the World Series. That's what Yankee fans want. I don't think it's too much to ask. It wasn't too much to ask in the past, so why is it suddenly a problem now? Do you agree with this? Like, do you agree with that whole, instead of thinking, oh, okay, if the Yankees make the World Series, there's a chance they could, I keep saying making the World Series. If the Yankees make the playoffs, you know, it's a crapshoot and everyone starts with zero wins and maybe they can make the World Series and maybe they can win. No, I don't want that. I want there to be nearly a guarantee. And if they lose, they lose. That's happened before. The Yankees have fielded the best team in baseball and have lost in the division series. I would rather that than sit here all season and think, oh God, are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to make the playoffs? Bob Braceman of the Daily News used to call, or actually he probably still does call the Yesner Network, Al Yankzera, as a goof on Al Jazeera, which is kind of stupid because Al Jazeera is actually a legitimate news source. But anyway, he should start calling it Hal Jazeera. One more thing about Hal before I end this segment and move on to everyone's favorite subject, arbitration, because today's arbitration day and everything is coming down on the wire and all you're seeing on Twitter is how much everyone's signing for. So thrilling, but at least something's happening. Anyway, if Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to own the Yankees anymore, which, judging by how he's running the team, he clearly doesn't want the job anymore. Either hand the reins over to Crazy Hank, groom one of the grandchildren to do it, or just sell the damn team already. Hopefully that'll be the last thing I say about Hal Steinbrenner today. Next up, arbitration. And there was a Yankee involved yesterday. We'll talk about that and more, but first. So a few things have happened in the last 24 hours. Zach Britton's deal is official. He was signed by the Yankees, and all of the parameters of the deal were announced. And Austin Romine and Greg Bird got some money. Now, Romine was actually projected to get $2 million. He signed a one-year deal at $1.8 million. So the Yankees are skimping money there. And gotta save money everywhere. And Greg Bird, I believe, was $1.2 million. I'm sure there are more guys up for avoiding arbitration. And everything will be updated as the day goes on. But the Yankees designated Hanser Alberto for assignment to make room for Zach Britton. He was claimed off waivers in early November. I believe it was probably because they figured they needed some depth after the loss of Didi to Tommy John surgery. He's 26, and he did pretty well in AAA when he was with the Rangers. So, that's done. In former Yankee news, David Phelps signed a deal to play with the Blue Jays. Phelps had Tommy John surgery, so he's recovering from that. And there was word that the Yankees were possibly looking into a reunion with Phelps, but he ended up with the Blue Jays. The Mets signed Jed Lowry. I don't understand where he's going to play, because it seems the Mets have about 10 guys in their infield right now. I saw someone on Twitter say that the Mets' new second baseman is just going to be three guys in a trench coat, which I thought was the funniest thing ever, and whoever said it, I apologize for not remembering who said it. I think it may have been Ben Kaback of River Avenue Blues, which isn't surprising because Ben is really funny. But yeah, that made me really laugh. Jaime Garcia, in more former Yankee news, is retiring at the grand old age of 32. Amazing. So in 2018, he only pitched 82 innings, and that was between both the Blue Jays and the Cubs. He had a 5.82 ERA, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio, 73-44 in 33 appearances. That is not good. So yeah, he's decided to hang it up. Good luck to him hanging it up at 32. Must be nice, huh? It seems the Reds and the Yankees are still trying to pull off a trade for Sonny Gray now that CeCe's been cleared to play baseball. Like I said the other day, I don't think they should rush this. I think that they should hold off on trading Gray just in case there's a setback with CeCe. CeCe, in his R2-C2 podcast with Ryan Rucco, get it? RR and CeCe, very cute. Anyway, he revealed in the podcast that if he had gone to London, he may not have come back. That's how bad his issue was. That's how clogged his artery was. He could have died. So again, I don't think they should rush things. I don't think that they should just trade Sonny Gray because the Reds have some pitching depth available. I think they should be smarter about this. The other thing that CeCe mentioned in his podcast, which I thought was one of the greatest things I've ever seen, and we all know it to be true, but he was addressing the whole Manny Machado not hustling thing. And he said, Cano did the same exact thing. He just didn't tell anyone. Perfect. I'm pretty sure I said something about Cano at some point this week, kind of saying the same thing. And sure, people complained about Cano. I was at a game in 2012 where this guy just spent the whole time heckling Cano, which was ridiculous because we were way up in the upper deck and there was no way Cano was ever going to hear him. He was basically doing it just to be a jackass and annoy the rest of us sitting there. But it was insane. This guy was like laser focused on Cano. Anything Cano did, even if he did it well, he was bashing him for being lazy. And I wanted to turn around and tell the guy who's being a racist jackass, but I didn't. And he also was very against Rafael Soriano pulling his jersey out. And the entire time that Soriano was on the mound pitching in the ninth inning, this guy was bitching about the jersey thing. So as soon as it happened, I imitated Soriano and turned around to the guy and basically mocked him for complaining about it. But that's because I'm me and I like to do that. So anyway, back to Cano, back to Machado, back to CeCe. CeCe knows what's up. Up next, more reminiscing, because what do you do during the offseason when nothing's really going on? You reminisce about previous seasons. This time, I'm going to talk about 1999, thanks to MLB's YouTube channel. But first, during the offseason, MLB likes to randomly upload videos. And what's funny about it is you'll suddenly see that they've updated 60, 70, 75 times. And that happened the other night. I'm subscribed to MLB on YouTube. I'm a big YouTube viewer. I watch a lot of people on YouTube. So I just so happened to look at MLB and it said 65 next to it. And I said, whoa, they had a busy time this week. And I was looking at some of the highlights. And, you know, they seem random to most people. And they are, you know, like who wants to watch a random walk-off single from like 1998? But some of us do. So I saw some stuff, and I saw a particular highlight of Ricky Lede walking off against the Indians. And in my mind, I thought, I am pretty sure that I was at that game. So I watched the highlight without scrolling down to see the date. And I looked at the angle of the sun and the crowd in the sky. The crowd in the sky? The crowd in the stands. Well, they were in the sky in the old upper deck, which is where I used to sit. And I thought to myself, yep, I was definitely at that game. Then I scrolled down to the date, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So I went to Baseball Reference, looked up the date. It was a Sunday. I was there because I did not miss any games that year. That was my first year with my season tickets. I had the Sunday plan. And in those days, the Sunday plan was every home Sunday, opening day, Memorial Day, Old Timers Day. We also had 4th of July, but I believe 4th of July was actually on a Sunday that year. It was incredible watching those highlights. And then my brain kind of was like, wait a minute, 1999 was 20 years ago. And then I got depressed thinking about that. Because in some ways it does feel like 20 years ago. It seems like a completely different lifetime ago. And in many ways it was. And then in other ways, it can't possibly be 20 years since then. Then there was another highlight. And I looked at that and thought, I was definitely at that game. I know I was at that game. And I was, because it happened on Joe DiMaggio Day, which was April 25th, 1999. I took my old boss from Oswego, his brother, and his father to that game. It was the first time Yogi Berra was back in the stadium for, like, you know, over a decade, so it was a big deal. Paul Simon sang Mrs. Robinson in the middle of center field. It was a whole big to-do. And then the Yankees won on a walk-off. I was just laughing at me knowing, just from looking at the highlight, being like, I was at that game. I was definitely at that game. Then I saw another highlight of Scott Brosius, and I thought, no, that wasn't the game I was at. I said, that was probably a Saturday game. And I was right. It was a Saturday game. I went to the next day. It was against Seattle. And the Yankees won the game I went to 11-5. So it was just, I love that MLB has all of these old videos to watch. They're a lot of fun to watch. You know, there are some that aren't fun to watch. Like, there was one highlight of Andrew Jones hitting a home run off Mo, which I didn't watch. Because who wants to see that? And then there was another video of underappreciated Yankee stints. So they had like Todd Zeal and Jose Canseco and Kevin Youkilis and Matt Holliday, but they didn't include Eric Chavez and Andrew Jones, which I thought was strange. One of my favorite Andrew Jones Yankee moments was in Minnesota. He hit a home run into the third deck, and Mark Teixeira's face when he saw where the ball landed was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. And I love that highlight so much. And I kind of can't believe that they would leave Andrew Jones out of that video. And also, Eric Chavez hitting Cody Epley in the head is one of the best baseball GIFs out there. Yes, I say GIF. I don't care that the guy who invented the file says GIF. It's not a GIF. It's a GIF. Get your act together. Anyway, more videos. Oh, there was a Brett Gardner, like, retrospective of all of his big hits. And I was at his first walk-off on July 6th, 2008, against the Red Sox. He hit, like, a bouncer up the middle that eluded the Red Sox two middle infielders, and it was a walk-off against Jonathan Papelbon, and it was great and awesome, because the guys who used to sit behind me at the old stadium had a Red Sox friend who was annoying, and he knew he could annoy me. There was one time I went with a friend who was a Red Sox fan who was like, I don't know how you haven't punched that guy in the face. So this is how bad this guy was. Anyway, Gardner walked off. I got to laugh in his face. It was great. It was fun. Did I think that Brett Gardner would still be a Yankee in 2019? Nope. Had no idea. Honestly, did anyone think that that scrappy little dude who came up in 2008 would still be a Yankee? No. And it's funny, in the video, I recognized games that I was at. There was a game in 2013. Actually, there was a weekend in 2013 where Gardner walked off twice against the Tigers, on the Friday night and on the Sunday afternoon. In the Sunday afternoon game, the Yankees were winning 4-2. Then Mo gave up back-to-back solo home runs. I think it was to Cabrera and maybe Victor Martinez. Was he back with the Tigers in 2013? I'm sure Cabrera hit one of them. But anyway, it was a shocking top of the ninth inning. And then Gardner came up in the bottom of the ninth and hit a walk-off. Thank God, because that would have been disastrous. And as soon as I saw the highlight, I said, oh yeah, I was at that game. Fun times. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. And once again, you can email me questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Or you can tweet them, whatever your fancy. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about the podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. So enjoy your weekend. Hopefully we'll have things to talk about on Monday. Hopefully it won't be about Manny Machado signing with either the White Sox or the Phillies.